We have 11 amazing restaurants featuring a wide variety for every price range and appetite. South Point's Garden Buffet has something for everyone at unbeatable prices. Or, if hunger strikes in the middle of the night, join us at Coronado Cafe. The American menu offers breakfast, lunch, or dinner 24 hours a day, plus a Chinese kitchen for authentic Chinese dishes from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. From steak and eggs to wonton soup, it's fast and friendly service 24/7. When you need a quick pick-me-up, you can find it at our state-of-the-art Starbucks just inside the main South Point entrance. Order ahead with the Starbucks app for easy mobile order pickups. Or enjoy your favorites in the relaxing dining area anytime, day or night. If you love Mexican food, Baja Miguel's has all of your south of the border favorites. There are dozens of classics to choose from, like fajitas, ceviche, chimichangas, tacos, and more. And for spirit lovers, Baja's colorful non-smoking tequila bar is right outside.
John was the most incredible person I'd ever met. Aviation was John's love and passion. He was present as a Marine and present as a dad, as a husband. It was a normal, ordinary Wednesday for us. When I was picking up my daughter from daycare, my friend that I would carpool with mentioned that there was an aircraft that went down. In an instant, you know, your life does change. And you, especially having children, have to decide, how am I gonna do this? I got a message from a friend, and they said, there's this foundation called Tunnel to Towers, and they said on TV that they're going to pay for your and John's mortgage. And it just felt like a frozen moment in time that I'd never forget. I'm so grateful for that.
By giving $11 a month, you're joining us on our mission to do good. Go to T2T.org. It only takes $11 a month to make a positive impact.
The following is a Race Day Las Vegas presentation in association with Sirocco Productions Limited on the Race Day Las Vegas Radio Network.
Live from the gaming capital of the world, time for Race Day Las Vegas, covering the sport of kings with a Las Vegas perspective. Now to the race desk with your host, Ralph Sirocco.
From the backstretch to the turf club, at the race books and on the internet, to all horse players around the world, a good morning. All righty, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Race Day Las Vegas radio program for this Wednesday as we pump it up and start up another week of racing coverage, Las Vegas style, right here at our studio, South Point Studios at the South Point Hotel Casino Complex on Las Vegas Boulevard in your gaming capital. And, of course, covering the world on the internet that we have at YouTube. South Point Studios, just go to YouTube, hit South Point Studios in the search bar. You'll get to our page. You'll click on us, and here we are and ready to go worldwide on the internet at YouTube, on the YouTube South Point Studios streaming network. And, of course, other platforms that we have also worldwide on the internet, like our websites, racedaylasvegas.com, .vegas.world.global. You got your iPhone or your Android that you can get the phone apps. Or we call them device apps now. The KSHB app will get you listening to our local radio station outlet here in town, Sports Talk 1400 AM, 107.1 FM. And, of course, the YouTube app will get you watching and listening to us on your devices as well. And anywhere else you get your podcasting, simply put, however, wherever, whenever. Welcome to the Race Day Show for this Wednesday. All right, we're going to crank it up for another week of racing and taking a look at racing across the country, and certainly coming up this weekend, kind of light this weekend. You only have, a couple of stakes races at Aqueduct on Saturday, and then you have a stakes race apiece at Del Mar, Gulfstream Park, the Pleasanton Racing up in Northern California. Woodbine has a grade two going, and that's on Saturday. And on Sunday, Aqueduct will come back with another two stakes races on their card. Del Mar will host the grade three, and Woodbine will have a couple of stakes races there. Otherwise, outside of that, really not much to talk about as far as stakes race is concerned, but the big centerpiece of the weekend is going to be Saturday at Churchill Downs when they have the Claiming Crown. Now, the Claiming Crown, of course, is a series of races that are based on the claiming horses only. You have to either start in or have run in claiming races at certain claiming levels, and of course, they'll have different distances and different surfaces, but the Claiming Crown will offer eight different categorized claiming races for claimers. You can't claim them out of the race, but it's the Claiming Crown. And this would be for claimers in those particular divisions and claiming price ranges of those eight full fields. Eight full fields. It'll be races 4 through 11 at Churchill Downs. And like I said, the claiming horses are the absolute five-star backbone of American racing. Now, we all like to talk about the big racing days and the big stakes races and the super horses out there. But day by day, filling all of those races in between and throughout the afternoon and throughout the day, as such as today, there'll be plenty of claiming races out there, and the claimers are the backbone. And so they have their big day of racing coming up on Saturday at Churchill Downs. This particular Claiming Crown concept and series has started out at Canterbury. As a matter of fact, at the time it started out at Canterbury, it was called Canterbury Downs. Now it's, of course, Canterbury Park, but at that time it was Canterbury Downs, and they started out the Claiming Crown there, and then it has moved around now for several years. I think it was at Gulfstream maybe a year or two, etc., but it has wound up at Churchill Downs. I think this is the third or second year they're going to have it at Churchill Downs, and it'll be on Saturday. And the big race of the eight full fields of horses that are running in this Claiming Crown, of course, is the Claiming Crown Jewel. We'll take a look at that field a little bit later on. But that's the big centerpiece of the weekend is centering on backbone of the horses that, they just come to work with their lunch pail in their hand. That's the claiming horses, and it'll be Saturday at Churchill Downs. Trainer Steve Asmussen has a revocation of his hearing for indefinitely for what one of his charges has been postponed for labor violations. I think this is in New York that they put him up looking at a hearing for violating labor laws, but now they have put that indefinitely postponed for those labor violations. So I guess when they took a longer look at this and they looked at the categories, he really wasn't in any harm or way as far as labor, violations as far as paying his help. He's one of the, in fact, Steve Asmussen's barn is one of the highest paid barns out there for its workers. So that's done. That's over with. The labor violations have been out of there. And, of course, HISA and all of the local racing jurisdictions and regulating agencies are now taking a longer look at their penalties and their parameters of their penalties. So everybody that's been on the HISA list as far as violations, that has all been put on hold now as well. So we'll wait and see if they can fine-tune it now and make it a little bit more fair and just, because the violations were so wide scope. They were such a wide scope in general in their adjudicating that a lot of times they didn't take in the specifics of what happens on the backside. For example, a lot of horses that have very minuscule traces of some drugs or some things that are in violation of the regulations can be had by environmental, like in the stall, how, when the they deliver the hay, et cetera, all that stuff. So they got to kind of fine tune that, and that's what they're doing. Two horses that were in the John Sheriff's farm had moved to Sherry DeVoe. Justique and McVeigh, two nice horses that John had, have moved from his barn to Sherry DeVoe's barn because the ownership of those horses want to do a little bit more of an eastern shift. And so they are shifting those horses to her on the eastern coast, the eastern shift as well. And by the way, you know, Peter Erton, who still has a stable in Southern California, has had a stable shifted to Kentucky and the east as well. That does not bode well for California racing, I can tell you that. So those two major horses have moved from John Sheriff's West Coast barn into Sherry DeVoe's East Coast barn. We'll wait and see if these shifts keep happening. It's going to be something that they really have to take a look at in Southern California and in California overall. I have gotten a lot of input from folks that the fairgrounds meet that's going to come up, I believe they open up a week before Thanksgiving. By the way, 2 weeks from Thursday is Thanksgiving. We will have a Thanksgiving show. But the fairgrounds opens up the weekend ahead of that. So the weekends, the fairgrounds is about 7 to 10 days away from opening. There's a lot of good information and a lot of good feelings in coming out for this fairgrounds meet this year in New Orleans. They've got some new stables there that are going to... some trainers that don't normally stable down there, maybe go down there for a big race or two, but they're going to have small stables there as well. One of them, believe it or not, from the East Coast is Linda Rice. Linda Rice is going to send down some horses and have a stable at the fairgrounds this year. And, of course, we know Brad Cox goes down there with a division. You'll have Steve Asmussen and all those. But several of the other trainers from the East Coast and one or two from the West Coast are going to have small barns down there at the fairgrounds. So the fairgrounds is setting up to be a really good meet this year. And with Churchill Downs beefing up the big stakes races for the Road to the Triple Crown and the Kentucky Derby, and with the Kentucky Derby points down there, it's going to be one heck of a meet. We hope that Mother Nature will shine on them down there and have some good weather down there as well, the fairgrounds. That's about 7 to 10 days away, that meeting there. As you know, Woodbine canceled on Sunday because of horses that were breaking down, and there were several horses that had died from accidents on the synthetic track they had there. So they canceled races on Sunday after the two last races they canceled on Saturday. Hopefully, they will have this situation with the Tapita synthetic footing as their racetrack there figured out. And they are scheduled to run tomorrow, Thursday. We have not gotten the status of whether they will schedule or not tomorrow, Thursday, but they canceled on Sunday. They're racing there, so we'll wait and see about that. Looking at what happened on Sunday at Aqueduct at the Big A, trainer Chad Brown had a couple of winners. He won the fifth race with Ired Ortiz Jr., a horse called High Beta, paying $4.20, and then came back in the seventh race, one of the two stakes races of the day, the Forever Together Stakes with Venetia. Venetia won with Manny Franco aboard, paying $15.60. That was Chad Brown's second win of the day. That was also Manny Franco's second win of the day as well. And so the other stakes race on the day, the Long Island was won by Be Your Best, Frankie DeTore aboard for Safi Joseph Jr., paying $21.80. That winner in the Long Island connection there, outrunning No Show, Sammy Joe, and Immensitude, who finished third in that race. By the way, Venetia, the winner of the Forever Together, outran Breath Away, who finished second there, and Root Cause, who was third. Chad Brown's second win on the day. And the pick six was not hit. Pick six prices were $16.60, $4.20, and $6.80, followed by $15.60, $21.80, and $118 in the last race. That was the nail in the coffin of any live pick six tickets. The ninth and final race at Aqueduct paid $118 to win, And so the pick six is carried over. Five out of six on Sunday paid $8,620.50. So when racing resumes at the Big A, there'll be a carryover from Sunday. Del Mar on Sunday. Trainer Peter Urton and Hector Barrios got together to win the first race, a race for two-year-old maiden fillies, paying $360 there. Horse's name was Aunt Mo. And then Hector Barrios came back in the last race. So he bookend the first to the last race. He had two winners on the day. The last race winner and Ready to Rumble paid $9.20 for Peter Miller. And other winners on the day included Steve Miotti with Juan Hernandez at 1280 and Isabel Lundlow. And then Hernandez came back right immediately after that fifth race winner with the sixth race winner and Classically for Phil D'Amato paying $8.40. And the Betty Grable Stakes on Sunday won by Chismosa with Tiago Piera aboard for Rafael De Leon, paying $7.80, outrunning Big Summer and Pushiness, who was the big favorite in that race at Del Mar. And at Churchill Downs, Christian Torres is the only rider that had a couple of winners. Christian Torres had wins in the fifth race and also in the, I believe, the, trying to find it here. Torres won, well, the way I see it, he only won one race. So there you have it. Okay, so all the jocks on Sunday at Churchill, 10 races, 10 different riders. Jonathan Ardoon's horse, boy, it looked like we were going to get a winner there at a nice price, but he got nailed in the end. His pick at the track there on Sunday, finishing second, paid $8.08 to place, and that was on Sunday at Churchill Downs. All right. That was Sunday. We've got a new week starting here. We got our handicappers ready to go. Jonathan Hardoon will be with us. Rich Eng, of course, will be with us as well. And then we'll get John Lindo to give us a Southern California update and take a look at the racing as it moves through this week for Southern California. And Jerry J with a thought or two about some more betting systems and betting parameters for racing as well. So we're just getting started. Our racing menu will be next. So on this Wednesday, get to YouTube, get South Point Studios in the search bar, get the South Point Studios streaming network on YouTube. And when you get there, I do believe we, somebody just turned on the alarm system here. So what we're going to do is we'll be right back.
South Point Casino has plenty of attractions for the whole family. Catch a movie. Our 16-screen movie theater includes two XD Extreme screens for the ultimate in viewing, sound, and luxury. After the show, treat the family to a variety of treats at our old-fashioned ice cream parlor, Kate's Corner. We scoop up a variety of creamy concoctions, including smoothies, hand-dipped cones, milkshakes, malts, sodas, and sundaes. At Kate's, there's something for everyone. And if you've still got time to spare, our bowling center might be right up your alley. Voted best of Las Vegas, it's a great place for friends and family fun. 64 lanes, a pro shop, snack bar, and arcade. And while the kids are bowling, you can play slots and sip on a drink in the Alley Cat Lounge while overlooking the lanes. For our more serious and professional bowlers, the South Point is also home to a separate tournament bowling plaza.
We're talking about the people who have put their lives on the line for this great country, the people who have lost and paid the greatest price for our freedom, for guys like me to be able to go sing songs about whatever I want to sing about every single night. And we're talking about an organization that helps support families and support the people that are running into the danger that the rest of us are running away from. And that's the kind of people I want to be beside. Those are the real heroes, man. I'm just a big fat guy with a guitar. Hey, y'all, this is Jelly Roll, and I am asking you to give $11 a month to the Tunnel to Towers Foundation. The Tunnel to Towers Foundation is committed to honoring the dignity of the American service member and is committed to helping end homelessness amongst the veteran community and ensure no veteran is left behind. Providing a safe and dignified home is an imperative part of helping veterans who are homeless reclaim their lives. Donate $11 a month by calling 1-844-BRAVEST or visit t2t.org.
Hey,
Okay, back on Race Day Las Vegas. I guess they have found where the fire alarm here in the building went off. So they're checking it out. I'm sure that somebody probably opened a door tripped the fire alarm somewhere in the building. But we're okay. Everything is set and ready to go. I do want to correct something here, because Jeffrey, who is one of our chatters, had said that Asmussen case is not over. They entered into agreement with the New York Safety and Gaming Commission that allowed him to pay for monitoring to exam his labor pay compliances over the next year. Now, that's not exactly the term that was sent to me in a note. The note that was sent to me said there was a revocation, the hearing indefinitely postponed for the labor violation. Whatever the case may be, hey, if they monitor him and he's doing everything right, like they thought he was doing something wrong before, but he was right, there won't be any problem. All right. All right. Now that we got that out of the way, and I tell you, our chatters out there are sharp people. So I enjoy watching and reading your stuff. And of course, they're very active today on the chat site at the Race Day Las Vegas. If you haven't tried it, go there. YouTube, at Race Day, South Point Studios. Get on the Race Day show and then subscribe. All you got to do is hit subscribe. It is free of charge. Won't charge you anything. Won't follow you anywhere. It's just a subscription there to have our chatters chat away on the chat box. Okay. Now we'll start with our racing menu for today. And I want to remind everybody out there that as far as the weather is concerned, here in Las Vegas, by the way, we start out this morning, it was 44 degrees out there. It was a little chilly out there. 65, we're going to top off here today. As far as the rest of the country, Miami 83, New York 53, Chicago 54, LA 78, and Phoenix, Arizona will top off at 79 today. As far as the weather around the country in regards to some racing conditions on the racetracks, a lot of action going on in the Northwest, Washington, and Oregon, so much so that they got some snow and everything going on up there. And as far as any of the other weather, Minnesota, Iowa, parts of Mississippi, Missouri, Arkansas there, and a little bit in Tennessee, but it looks like it'll be okay as far as racing is concerned in places like Churchill Downs. So let's get started with the racing menu today, reminding you, as we always do, the first post times we broadcast on this racing menu each and every day reflect that of the Pacific time zone. If you're here listening in Las Vegas, going to stop out at the South Point Racebook here and play the races today. We are in the Pacific time zone. And for all of you others listening out there around the world on our other platforms, if you're in another time zone, adjust from the Pacific time zone to whatever one you're in. This way you won't miss anything. I don't want you to miss anything like I miss Mom and Dad. Okay, here we go. Here's the menu for today. We begin with Parks Racing. Parks Racing has a Pick 5 jackpot carryover of $150,642 today. Their first post time is at 9:05. Next comes Finger Lakes, and there goes the alarm again. So we will continue to go, folks, because they are testing it now. All right, the Finger Lakes is first post time is at 9:15. Then we'll move to Mahoning Valley. Mahoning Valley Racecourse, first post time there is 9:45. Following that, we'll go to Churchill Downs in Louisville, Kentucky. Churchill Downs Pick 6 jackpot carryover, $16,966. That's the Pick 6 carryover jackpot at Churchill Downs today, $16,966. Their first post time is at 10 a.m. 10 minutes later, Horseshoe Indianapolis will get into play. Horseshoe Indianapolis first post time is at 10:10. Following that, we go to Turf Paradise in Phoenix, Arizona. Turf Paradise has a first post time of 11:40 at Turf Paradise today. Following that, we'll go to Delta Downs. Delta Downs will kick in first post at 2:50. And then after that, Penn National will start at 3:15 at Penn National. Charlestown will have a first post time of 4 p.m. with a Pick 6 jackpot carryover, $19,332. First post time is 4 p.m. And then we wrap it up with Remington Park. Remington Park has a first post time of 4:30. Okay, that's it. Now let's go out to Jonathan Ardoon standing by. No alarms there, huh, Jonathan?
Not that I heard of yet, but it could be happening any minute. You know? You never know.
Most of the
By the way, Ralph, you were talking about sheriffs shipping those horses to Sherry DeVoe. You know there's like a family connection there. Sherry DeVoe is married to David Ingordo. David Ingordo is the bloodstock agent whose mother is Dottie Ingordo. And I believe David Ingordo bought the Zenyatta for the sheriffs back when. So there's a lot behind the scenes there that we're not privy to. So it's kind of like a family connection in a way, I guess.
That's for the shift. For Sherry DeVoe. What about Linda Rice, who hardly ever goes out of New York, having a small stable down there at Fairgrounds this year?
Yeah, you were telling me off the air that she's plans on obviously staying in New York because the leading trainer here forever, especially in the winter. But she's going to ship horses, you know, to the Fairgrounds that just don't fit here in the winter. There are certain conditions, I guess.
Yeah.
So it's not good for New York, but apparently they wouldn't have been running here anyway. You know, because those horses just don't fit the winter book here. So it's, you know, maybe they have turf racing there or something that she's going to ship turf horses there. Who knows? But supposedly the purse structure is very good there, so it will attract barns to go there.
Well, we know that Churchill Downs obviously owns the Fairgrounds, and they're trying to elevate a lot of the properties they have. They're doing this at their other racetracks as well. As you know, they did a little bit with the Colonial Downs in the past meet as well.
Right.
So they're beefing up the Fairgrounds, which is a beautiful historic racetrack down there in Nolens. If you ever been there, if you ever haven't been there, that ought to be on your bucket list because it's really a nice place, and certainly the people down there are great, and of course the French Quarter and all that. But it has a rich history in racing as well at the Fairgrounds. And, in the last couple of last decade or so, outside of the prep races for the Kentucky Derby, it's really, that hasn't been too many days of big racing there. But I think Churchill Downs is trying to elevate it with the purse structure and, the races they write and all that. And they are going to get some new trainers that have been small stables. We're not talking about trainers moving down there. What they're saying is trainers and the
Sending
other jurisdictions
are
going to have a string of races down there.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's a good thing. Listen, they get full fields there for the most part. They write cheaper races a lot of times to fill those fields, but maybe the quality of racing, like you said, is going to improve, and that's only good news.
And I know that the races that are Kentucky Derby preps, the points for those Kentucky Derby preps are going to be raised a bit, and also the purse money for those races as well, so... your man, Brad Cox, sends a nice string down there, and a very, some of his top three-year-olds go down there for those races.
He uses the big three-year-old, for the races next year to get points for the Derby, and he has a whole string there. Listen, there's no Churchill. The only thing going on anywhere around there is Turfway Park, and that's synthetic. So it's either Florida, California, or Fairgrounds, for the most part.
Yeah. And we do. Well, Aqueduct, the Big A, will be racing in the winter.
Yeah,
I think now Aqueduct has one more kind of a big weekend left where they get the Cigar Mile. I think the last grade ones happen soon there at Aqueduct. And then that's it for the rest of the year until the next year.
I guess you're right.
And so it goes. Anyhow, Claiming Crown, the good old horses, the backbone of horse racing, the Claiming Crown. I noticed in the Claiming Crown, however, that, let me get the sheet here. Mike Maker will have entries in 6 of the 8 Claiming Crown races, but there are no Southern California trainers to send any Southern California claiming horses to the Claiming Crown. That was kind of unusual, I thought.
Yeah, I'm sure there are horses eligible for it, for sure. I guess they just don't think it's that important to put on their radar. But you have horses I know coming from the East, certainly from New York. There'll be a couple of horses that run there.
Yeah.
And it is what it is.
But Mike Maker might have a big day because he's got 6 out of 8. He's in 6 out of 8 races in the Claiming Crown. But, for example, the big race, the $200,000 Claiming Crown Jewel, which will be the 10th race on the card on Saturday at Churchill Downs, saw a field of 14 entered in it, and Mike Maker has a horse in the body of the field, a horse called Guntown, with Louis Saez aboard, but he also has a horse on the, I guess, the AE. Maybe they will run 14 horses. I don't know. But the 14 horse Big Dreaming is also a Mike Maker trainee there. And your man, Brad Cox, sending out Bourbon Day in the Claiming Crown Jewel with the Florent Guru aboard. So, you know, some of these horses, you know, you say Claiming Crown, and we're not talking about all of the races. Some of them are the bottom, you know, like $12,500 or $10,000 claimers.
Right.
Claiming Crown Jewel are horses who have started somewhere for a claiming price, but maybe like a grade three type of horse, etc. And Bourbon Day is one of those.
You know, certain trainers are just so smart, and Mike Maker is one of them. Whenever you see these big days or even these short meets like Kentucky Downs, for example, or the Claiming Crown Day, they point their horses for those races. They know way in advance that those races are being run on those days, and they start pointing horses for it. They claim horses that'll be eligible to run there. So certain operations are really, you know, that's really the difference. When you get an operation that's run like that, Asmussen runs his operation like that, but no one does it like Mike Maker really does. He claims horses with specific races in mind to go run in them. And his barn really does a terrific job.
And they're very successful at that too, I might add. It's like when we talk about, for example, the Kentucky Derby, the first Saturday in May, you know, you see your trainers starting three-year-olds in certain races, and the old saying is, well, that's not the racing day that they got circled. They got circled on the calendar for
right.
Saturday in May. It's the same thing in a lesser type of situation as far as what you're talking about, Mike Maker and other trainers. They circle on the calendar those particular racing days and that particular meet, like Kentucky Downs, where they get their horses ready to perform on those days, just like you would if you were running a three-year-old for the Kentucky Derby.
That's the big picture. Look at Torpedo Anna, for example. She ran on Parks when Parks had their big day, Pennsylvania Derby Day, if you remember.
Yeah.
But after that, they had the Breeders' Cup really as the race that was circled. So they went to the Pennsylvania Derby Day. It was a cotillion, I believe.
Yeah.
She didn't throw in one of her great races, but she didn't have to. Her big main objective was the race that was coming up a month later in the Breeders' Cup. So that's what they do. They plan in advance. It's like when you go in a huddle and you call two or three plays before the play that you're going to run now because you know that you have a plan further down the road. Well, that's what great trainers do, and that was just another example of it.
Yep. And they also, like you said, they might go ahead and claim a horse 6 months from there. You say, what is this guy doing claiming this horse? Because he has in mind to go to that particular race here, like I say, on Claiming Crown Day. And after all, this race is a $200,000 purse. Most of the races are bottomed out at $100,000. Some are $125,000, $175,000. But this is the main event, the Claiming Crown Jewel, $200,000 there. And so it'll be interesting, that race, of course, the whole day of racing at Churchill Downs on Saturday. And, of course, these are the type of races and the type of horses that fill those fields.
It's great for racing. It's great for people that don't have the million-dollar horses, and you get an opportunity to run for big money. Yeah, it's one day, but guess what? People look forward to it. Usually terrific betting cards because they're all full fields. Everyone wants to get into those races,
yep.
And they're overfilled for the most part. It's good on all fronts.
And, you know, the good thing about this as well is that players around the country playing day in and day out will make it maybe a score or a nice win bet or a nice hit on a particular claiming horse, and they'll remember that horse. And then
I know that horse. In
yeah, and they say, "Hey, I made a score on that horse." It's good for the everyday players too, because you know, we remember the horses that we've
yeah.
done. And so when you go through the list of the horses in the Claiming Crown, you have automatic recognition to some of the horses. And on the other side of it, of course, you could sit there and say, yeah, I bet that horse six times. And he's always, second and third, but he's never there. You know, those things there, that's a good, underlying attraction to something like the Claiming Crown. I'll give you the entries, by the way, for those players out there. that are saying, maybe there's a horse that I bet, and here's how the field is going to line up for the Claiming Crown Jewel, the $200,000 race, the 10th race on the card. It is the main event of the Claiming Crown. Number one is Spoiler. Number two is General Mathis. Number three is Money Supply. Number four is Hurry Hurry. Number five is Auto Glide. Number six is Guntown. Number seven is Winston Wolf. The eight is Bourbon Day. The nine, Laughing Boy. The 10 is Wallaka. The 11 is Surface to Air. The 12 is Beyond Best. The 13 is Gilded Kraken. And the 14 is Big Dreaming. So anybody out there who might have made a score on any one of these horses, that horse is running for you again in the Claiming Crown Jewel, that's for sure. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Okay, well, you're talking about everyday races and everyday, handicapping in place. What about a play for today here, Mr. Hardoon?
Let's look at Churchill Downs, go to the seventh race today. It's 7 furlongs on the main track, and I like the number one horse in here. It'll be fun. This is a 2-year-old filly from the Kenny McPeak barn, Brian Hernandez aboard to ride. She's run well in both of her first two starts. Graduation day today for number one. It'll be fun. 7-2 on the morning line in today's seventh race out at Churchill Downs.
And the trainer, Kenny McPeak, with Brian Hernandez Jr. aboard. That's a good combination there. Those two guys do well together, and that's the one. It will be fun. It will definitely be fun if we can cash the horse. that horse that you gave out on Sunday, who finished second at a big price. Jonathan, I got to tell you, sometimes you think to yourself, he was second best or whatever. But in this particular case, I think if the horse got a little bit of a better ride, it probably would have won the race.
Well, he was breaking from the rail, and he had a circle, I guess. Yeah. That's what did it. But the horse did run well at 7-1. So we're going to break through today, Ralph, get back in the winning streak.
Yeah, and that was a sprint race. It was on a sloppy track. He broke from the one pole, dropped almost, I think, down to last, and then circled the field and tried to get through and win the race. But yeah. Let's get better racing conditions today and a better result as well in the seventh race of Churchill Downs today, number one. It'll be fun. It will be fun. Number one in the seventh at Churchill. And, of course, you got a full sheet for Churchill Downs, right?
JONHARDOON.com. Thank you, Ralph. Stay safe. Be well. We'll chat tomorrow.
You too, my man, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. All right. When we come back, Rich Eng is standing by. We'll take a quick recap of maybe what happened over the weekend and in the NFL. And I'll bet you Richie's got a horse for us as well today, so don't go away.
Tunnel Stowers helped so many people. As a player of the Mets, I feel like for me, I have a responsibility to give back, especially to a cause that's authentically New York. And I just want to show appreciation for those brave men and women who really do a massive service, not just in New York, but everywhere.
Hey, I'm Pete Alonso. Let's go Mets, and let's help the Tunnel to Towers Foundation.
Go to T2T.org for more information about how your donation can make a difference.
Thank you, buddy.
There are many families that need your help. I'm Mark Wahlberg, and I'm asking you to support the Tunnel to Towers Foundation in their efforts to deliver mortgage-free homes to catastrophically injured service members, Gold Star and fallen first responders families with young children, as well as eradicating homelessness amongst our veterans.
Everybody knows where the money's going. Every single dollar. God bless you.
Please contribute $11 a month to support their efforts by visiting T2T.org.
South Point is also proud to provide a variety of relaxing amenities for the guests who want to be pampered. Soak up the sun and let your stress melt away in our lagoon-style paradise swimming pool. A relaxing getaway where you can bask in the desert sun and enjoy seasonal food and bar service poolside. And if you really want to escape, come to Spa Costa del Sur. From couple suites to a co-ed wet area, our spa caters to business and leisure travelers who want to unwind and elevate their senses. A visit to one of our spa's steam, sauna, or whirlpool treatment rooms will leave any guest feeling like they can take on the world.
All right, back on Race Day Las Vegas for this Wednesday. Now it's time to go out to Rich Eng standing by. Richie, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Ralphie. Good morning, viewers. Good morning, listeners.
Well, Rich, we're getting into the nitty-gritty now of the NFL season. It seems like the, I guess you call it the cream is rising to the top, but there have been some interesting contests, especially over the past weekend. But I got to tell you, that comeback by Detroit was really something.
Yeah, Detroit was losing pretty badly at the half. I think it was like 23-7, and the Texans were pretty much doing anything they wanted. And then in the second half, there was the alarm went off with the Detroit Lions. They played ferocious football for the next 30 minutes, ended up winning the game on a long kick by the kid Bates, a 52-yarder. But Detroit is the number one seed right now in the NFC. And then you take a look at the number one seed in the AFC right now. How about that game with Kansas City and Denver, Ralph? The Denver, you know, really, really played a good football game, deserved to win. They set up the field goal kick from about the 35-yard line on the last play. And if you watch the replay closely, the left side of the Denver offensive line was just caved in. Yep. You could see Kansas City put like six guys on that side of the line, and they just bull rushed the guard and the tackle, and any one of three guys could have blocked that kick. That's how much penetration there was by Kansas City. Yeah. So a great play by them. Denver deserved to win, but KC undefeated still.
You know, I got to tell you, KC is a very talented team, but there have been a couple of games this year that they have just had that lucky horseshoe in their back pocket, that's for sure, and that's one of them. But that now, you know, I mean, you know, the coach obviously said, listen, we're going to overload one side and see if we can get there through that side instead of, you know, evening it out. And it worked. But right now, yeah, you're right. Those two teams are the number one teams. But there are, I think, mostly this year, of the other teams that were expected to be good, except for the Jets, who just haven't managed to put it together with Aaron Rodgers. But the other teams, there have been key injuries along the way that have really hindered some of the other teams that you would thought would be doing better at this time.
Well, injuries in the National Football League is something that happens every single year. Yeah. Typically, the teams that can advance to the playoffs and eventually make the Super Bowl have the least amount of injuries, especially to key players. Mm-hmm. So, like, for example, a team like San Francisco has really been beat up pretty badly. You know, the Cincinnati to some degree. But injuries are something that you really can't control. There's a great sidebar story with Bill Belichick when he was coaching the New England Patriots. Mm-hmm. And a reporter asked him, you know, why don't you, you know, rest some of your players before they get hurt, you know, in a specific game or two. Mm-hmm. And Belichick said to the guy, well, if you can tell me when my player is going to get hurt, I'll take him out the play before.
Well, that's a good line, that's for sure. But talking about those key injuries, and or you know, Miami is a prime example. They get their quarterback back, they get their ace receiver back, and you see what they did with those two guys back in the lineup the other night. So it's certainly interesting. And the college football season with the 12-team now playoff is getting real interesting as well. But we're here to talk a little bit about horse racing, and I know you search out you know, other racetracks on days off and try to get us a horse. So do you have one today?
Yeah, I got a horse. I love playing simulcast even on the days when, you know, New York and California aren't running. But let's go to Horseshoe Indianapolis, Ralph, race number 3. It's a mile on the grass, and a horse that probably, I'll bet, whether he runs on grass or dirt, is the number one special agent. Brad Cox legs up Marcelino Pedroza Jr., but this horse has been favored a couple of times. Last time ran real well and got second. I like the rail draw, especially at the mile distance. I think should get a really excellent trip from inside. Let's go with the 1, Special Agent, race 3.
All right, third race at Horseshoe Indianapolis. This race at a mile scheduled for the turf. Either way, you're going to play him from the rail, number 1, Special Agent. 3-1 on the morning line, Special Agent in the third race at Horseshoe Indianapolis, Richie's play for today. Thanks, Rich. We'll talk to you tomorrow, and we'll have check out that Thursday night football game.
Hey, thanks, Al. Good luck, everybody.
All right, we're going to wrap it up with John Lindo with the Southern California Report. And, of course, Jerry Jakimowicz may be dropping along to give us a thought about some other betting strategies. Don't go away.
South Point offers all the types of entertainment you'd expect at a first-class Las Vegas resort. Did you know our 400-seat showroom is one of Las Vegas' top destinations for live entertainment? Enjoy live performances by classic Vegas entertainers, bands, and today's hottest comedians, plus a rock and dance floor. You can also enjoy live entertainment at the Grandview Lounge, where you'll feel all the vibes of old Las Vegas. Enjoy the music, and if you love to laugh, don't miss The Dirty at 12:30, our very own free comedy show, every Friday night at 12:30 a.m. in the Grandview Lounge. The Dirty is 100% free, so arrive early. Go to southpointcasino.com or call the box office at 77136 for today's performances at the showroom and the Grandview Lounge. When you're ready for your favorite cocktail, stop in and unwind at one of our seven specialty lounges. There's a bar around every corner, because you're in Vegas, baby.
The Race Day Las Vegas Show, the only exclusive daily local media racing information source in Las Vegas.
All right, back on Race Day Las Vegas. Time to go out to John Lindo standing by in Southern California. John, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph. How you doing?
Doing fine, my man. I can see you're there in Southern California with a nice short-sleeved shirt on. In the meantime, I'm bundled up in a sweater here because it's getting cold out here in Las Vegas in the mornings.
Well, it's a little chilly here in the morning, but it's fast and firm here in the office, and we're going to be good to go today.
John, coming up this weekend in Southern California, another racing weekend at Del Mar. And, of course, they continue with the theme, the Bing Crosby theme, with naming some of the stakes races after past movie stars. With some of the stables and people moving from some horses from Southern California to other jurisdictions, we're talking about maybe some people looking at the fairgrounds over the winter. It's getting more challenging, I think, to find horses to fill the fields at Del Mar. Maybe that is why they didn't race on the holiday Veterans Day on Monday and are taking Thanksgiving off.
That's got to be part of it, Ralph. There's no doubt about it. We've talked about it. The horse population in Southern California is light, and as far as trying to get other horses to come out during the wintertime, it's tough. And you know, when we get down to December and January, it starts to be breeding season. So some of those mares that are currently on the racetrack will be retired and go to the breeding shed. So there's an adjustment in the horse population, not only here, but everywhere around the nation.
Yeah.
And for a little while, there's a lull there in the early season in the wintertime. So let's hope the weather is good because, grass racing in Southern California is an option that maybe some other places don't have, and maybe that might help a little bit. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be tough. This is going to be a tough winter for the horse population in Southern California.
Well, at this time of the year, we're thinking about, turkey and holidays and all that, and, of course, waiting anxiously for the day after Christmas when Santa Anita opens, a traditionally big day at the races in Southern California. But we also are starting to think about the Eclipse Awards, and not only for the horses, but for the humans, too. And I can't see how they're not going to give that Eclipse Award this year. I know I'm voting for Flavien Prat. Not only did he have an absolute unbelievable year, he's winning at a 22% rate overall around the country. He's had 204 wins already, a lot of them quality wins on stakes races. And his horses, his mounts, have earned the highest earnings of the year in over $34.5 million. You got to think that Irate Ortiz Jr., that has a mantle full of Eclipse Awards already, might have to bow to Flavien Prat this year.
Well, the reason that Flavien Prat went back to the East Coast to begin with was he wanted to try and win an Eclipse Award and become the leading rider in the nation. And I think he's done it. To go back at Saratoga, where the Ortiz brothers have dominated through the years, and to set a record for stakes wins at a Saratoga meet, that's saying something. And then he just validated that by winning two races on the Breeders' Cup cards, including the Breeders' Cup Classic. Mm-hmm. He's riding first call for Chad Brown. And, you know, he's as good as there is on anything, whether it be short, long, dirt or turf. Just a fantastic rider. He's a smart rider, too, Ralph. He does his homework. He finds a way to place his horses where they should be. And he's as good a finisher as there is in the game right now. So I hope he wins that Eclipse Award. He deserves it. He's earned it. And it's great to see this guy work himself up to this level.
Well, we'll be back in business in Southern California on Friday at Del Mar. And anything scuttlebutt on the backstretch at Del Mar we should know?
No, it's been relatively quiet. You know, as far as what I'm doing, I'll have a full card tomorrow for Churchill Downs. And I'm also going to do that Claiming Crown card on Saturday. You look at those entries, and of the eight Claiming Crown races, I think only one is not a full field, and that one has 11.
Yeah.
The other races are all oversubscribed, and I'm a big fan of the Claiming horses. They get their day, so we're going to do some coverage of that as well.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun racing there in the Claiming Crown on Saturday. Well, we will let you finish up your to-do list, your honey-do list for this weekend, and our weekend, of course, and get started with another racing week tomorrow. From Southern California. We'll talk to you tomorrow, John.
Yeah, we'll enter today for Saturday, and we'll have an idea of what we're looking at for the weekend.
All right, you got it, my man. Thanks a lot.
All right, good luck.
And don't forget, folks, that John Lindo's Lindo Report, every day that he does something, will be here, the Lindo Report at the South Point free of charge. Let's go to Jerry Jackowitz standing by. Jerry, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph.
Ah, the man in red there. What say you? What's up?
Not much, you know. I think you guys touched on something. I didn't exactly hear John's answer because the way the audio set up, but it is pretty disappointing, the quality of the fields, the size of the fields that we're getting in Southern California. We see it right now in Del Mar is a little anemic. Mm-hmm. And as you said, there's no racing on Thanksgiving, and they pass the day here and there. So that's sort of unfortunate. And,
Jerry, let me ask you this. With the smaller fields that we have now, do you change your way of wagering to see if you can maximize wagering? In other words, do you fine-tune it to the fact that there are smaller fields now?
Well, yeah, sure you do, because, you know, sort of different possibilities come up. But it's still basically the same idea as trying to find an overlay. I mean, it's almost the first thing you learn when you go into when you step into a racetrack for the first time is, what are we trying to do? We're trying to find the winner. We're trying to find an overlay. The overlay part is even more important than the winner part, strangely enough. So, because you can bet win in place, and the overlay can get you plenty of money in the place position.
Yeah, well, so, we always got to look for value, correct?
Right. Sure, as it happens, short-priced overlays are very profitable. So in small fields, like 4 or 5 horse fields, if you have a horse that's, you know, 6 to 5, that should really be 3 to 5, that's actually not a bad play, and I'm not against that. That is a big mathematical advantage. And in small fields, good form holds up even more than it does in bigger fields, because there's less chaos in the race. There's less negative variables to negatively affect the best horse in the race. So,
well, so in other words, when you see a horse at 2 to 1 that you think the betting public should have at even money or 3 to 5, etc., that becomes a valuable overlay to you, even though it's only 2 to 1, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's called a short price overlay, and under the heading of earning the most money, short-priced overlays actually do produce the greatest profits. And they win at a higher frequency.
And we do see that a lot in Southern California now, where you have a 6-horse or 5-horse field. You got a horse that's 4 to 5, another horse sitting there maybe at 2 to 1 or 5 to 2, or maybe even 8 to 5. And a lot of times that horse winds up beating the favorite with the big money on it. So those are considered short price overlays, right?
Absolutely, and they're definitely good plays. I try and give some of those out. Actually, I try and give out a lot of those on the show. I'm using my featured play, and I'm always hoping that they're a short priced overlay as opposed to my pop out keys, which are just, you know, probably good priced horses that are being missed, or they're overbetting somebody else, or it looks like they're overbetting somebody else. So
okay.
Well, those are pop-out teeth. So.
Yeah, good advice there, that's for sure. And that's a good way to wind up today's Wednesday show as we start another week of covering the great sport of Kings Las Vegas style. One more thing to say, Jerry saying it.
Have a great race day, everybody.